Hi, everybody. This is Advice for Life with Lynn. Today's issue is change your habits, change your life.
To become aware of what you're doing, no, not bad or good, so you have other choices, physically,
exactly.
Mentally, emotionally.
So the whole concept of mindfulness applies. That's like the new word for this.
Right.
We call it awareness. It's really just learning. It's learning. This is called somatic education. Your soma being the you in the body, not just the tissue, the meat, mm-hmm. the skin, the bones. It's the you that's inhabiting this. So if you wanted to think of an overarching goal, it would be to fully embody yourself.
You have problems? She has answers. Getting down to the nitty-gritty with people who know what they're talking about. This is Advice for Life with Lynn.
So, what is a habit? I think we all know what a habit is. It's anything that we do repeatedly over and over again without really thinking about it. It's really unconscious. We started doing it one time and then we just do it. You know, like you drive home from work and you go, God, how did I get home? I wasn't even here. I don't even remember stopping, turning, whatever. That's a habit. Some habits are what we would consider to be good habits, like getting up on time to go to work, or taking a deep breath instead of screaming at somebody, or stretching our back, or cracking it when we feel tight. But some habits are just so unconscious, we keep making the same poor choices for ourselves over and over again. We might lash out when we're triggered, we might get defensive, we might pick toxic relationships, or give so much that we're depleted and resentful, or give unsolicited advice, lecture people when they don't want it. One of my favorites is we might ruminate over and over again in our head about fearful and negative thoughts. Many times it's at night. Now, these emotional and thinking habits keep us in the same place year after year, because that's what a habit does, right? Keep doing the same thing over and over, you get the same result. And these habits keep us stuck, or if we don't put a negative connotation on it, they just keep us in the same place. But how can we change our habits if we choose to, if we don't even know we have a habit? One way you can do this is through something called Feldenkrais, the Feldenkrais method. I know. When I told somebody I was doing this podcast, they're like, what's a Feldenkrais? And I thought the same thing when I heard about this 20 years ago. But this method is really about increasing your awareness in your body, the habits you do with your body, to increase your awareness of the habits you're doing in your life so that you can open up the door to other possibilities in your life. Feldenkrais was a really smart guy. He was an engineer and a physicist. He came up with a system of body movements, like I said, that help us hopefully live our lives better by increasing our self-awareness. Because when we're self-aware or just aware, then we can change something if we want. That's the idea. Okay. To help us with this, my dear friend is today's guest, Corinne Luria. She's a physical therapist and a certified Feldenkrais practitioner. I love her famous quote. She says, when you know what you're doing, you can do what you want. And she's very smart. So I'm so glad you're
Thank
here.
You.
So explain to me in a watered down version. I told somebody, my friend asked me, what's the next podcast? Oh, I'm going to talk about Feldenkrais. Felden who? So in a watered-down version, what is Feldenkrais and who was he?
Well, in general, the method is a somatic education method, which is different than body work, different than exercise. It's actually using your own nervous system to develop an awareness of your underlying habits of posture, habits of movement that ultimately can wreak havoc on your joints. But more than that, it's about your body image, your own self-image. So the work is done in a group setting, following verbally guided lessons or one-on-one, where the practitioner actually supports and helps the student feel what their habits are and discover other options, other alternatives. If you don't know what you're doing, how can you do what you want?
Well, to me, that's the overall point of this podcast.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing, how do you know what you want? And that goes into your whole life, not just
exactly.
your body. You just gave me a mini, she just gave me a mini lesson, I guess, on what Feldenkrais is. You can watch it on my Instagram page. And I didn't even know, well, I mean, I knew I had hip problems, like unevenness and tightness, but I did not know my whole body's uneven, leg, foot, whatever. What is the advantage of that? Like, how can this awareness help your whole life?
Well, it really depends who the you in that sentence is. If you're a high-performing elite athlete, you already think you know everything about how to move. When you have a lesson and lie down and realize the differences because of the dominant hemisphere of your brain, the difference in the way you grew, the right side is different than the left. And it's not to correct that. It's to make you aware of it so that you have the information you need to move forward into that sport you play. Actors love this because you get to really feel how you express yourself as an individual. How would that character that you're playing, for example, Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, how did he find the way to hold his body and create movements, create a voice that told us how crazy that Raymond was, Rain Man?
How did he? What's the answer?
Well, talented people already have a certain amount of skill in knowing how to create an image. Most of us aren't trained in that. Or think of a musician. You go in, you want to take a lesson in violin, only you're the violin. How do you play yourself? So an actual violinist has to keep their head to one side, keep the violin. So for thousands of hours, they practice that. Ask them to do the reverse image, and it doesn't exist in the mental map. Now, the other end of the spectrum, I'm a physical therapist. Primarily, I see people with neurological problems. The same approach is true for any level of performance. I work with infants. It's not like I'm teaching them contextually about themselves. They don't even have language yet. But that inner feeling of yourself, where are you in space? How do you know where you begin, where the edges of you are, and where the world begins? How do you outline your own whole self in relationship to your orientation to the earth?
How can you teach a baby that, let alone us?
It's by movement. The basic idea is to support the student, even a baby, in what they're already doing. And in that moment,
physically support them. Okay.
And of course, I look at the entire body. What's the organization of how the head is being held? Which shoulder is higher? How do the ribs turn? Which tells me everything about how the spine is turned. Where does that person shift their weight to? So in a child, you're trying to teach the developmental sequence that for some reason the child can't find themselves. If they have cerebral palsy, an injury at the time of birth, a developmental abnormality. You can create the situation, create the conditions for learning, like any good teacher. So I'll come back to that. This is somatic education. It's not a therapy, and it's not exercise per se. It's not about, I want to strengthen this group of muscles or stretch this group. This helps you do that better. If you want to stretch, you go to yoga, you go to dance class. If you really know where your pelvis is, if you know where you put your head when you shift your weight, it opens up all the other possibilities, and that's a metaphor for your life. If you know what you're doing clearly, you now have a choice to do something else. If you're run by your habit and you don't even know you have the habit, how can you change it?
I'm writing this down because I didn't get it for the longest time. Okay, so let's use me for an example. I just lied down with you for, I don't know, 10 minutes, not even. And what did you discover?
I discovered your habits of posture. And you can feel right now as you're turning yourself to write. And I have a theory that this develops when we learn to write. The idea of how you get that pen onto the paper or that crayon onto the paper and make it do what you want, we automatically shift onto one hip, we bend through the ribs, we side bend, we turn our head, and then we spend the rest of our life practicing that. Try and do it with the other side.
Right, it's with the
not
other side?
Just, yeah. Oh. And it's not just because you have a left dominant hemisphere, so your right hand is your writing hand. Everything you ever do, if you look at people, you'll notice that one nostril is bigger than the other. One part of the face is farther forward. Because our bones, as we're growing, respond to the situation you're living in. So if a little child is learning how to feed themselves, learning how to write, learning how to walk, throw a ball, jump, all of those things are happening only within the context of what their brain can imagine is possible.
Your body responds to your habits.
Exactly. It's a complete expression of your habit. I can look at you and... I mean, I'm trained to do it, but everyone can feel this. If you lie on a flat surface as if you're standing, but now you get the feedback from the floor, you can feel, oh, my one leg is turned out. The other one goes the other way. Which is better?
Right. That's the first thing I thought
of.
Oh, my God, what's wrong with me?
Right. And there's nothing wrong. You're just getting the evidence that shows you what you're mental map of yourself looks like. And then there are whole neighborhoods on that map that there are no roads. You've never gone there before. So I would create the conditions to allow you to go where you wouldn't know how to go yourself because your habit keeps you this way.
So you basically show us the door. This is your habit, but this is a door you could walk through if you wanted to change a habit, no judgment, for better or for worse. So once you're, I'm just watering it down, tell me if I'm wrong. So is Feldenkrais really about increasing your awareness of your body and your habits so you could increase your awareness of your brain open yourself up to other possibilities?
We use the body because it's yourself that I'm talking, you know, if you go to a Western trained physician, it's your elbow or it's your knee or it's your gallbladder. Mm-hmm. But this is about it's you. Mm-hmm. This is happening to you, and maybe parts of you are not functioning at the optimum level. What's ideal for you? So say a kid grows with a scoliosis. Mm-hmm. Many of us have that. Some are more extreme. That bias to one side because of the skeletal curve in the spine makes everything that you do a reflection of that. How do you go in the other direction? How do you even find that? So it's like actually putting roads on a map. There are big centers in our brain that aren't conscious. The prefrontal cortex is the executive function. You intend it, you do it. But everything underneath, the cerebellum, the pons, all of the coordination areas are not conscious. And that's where we take the lesson to the level where you don't even realize what you're doing and bring it up to a conscious level so you could do something else if you so choose. If every time you throw the ball up to serve a tennis ball, you do something with your head and your hip that you don't realize you're doing, a good tennis coach will spot it and tell you. Mm. Telling doesn't exactly change it, though. You have to feel it so clearly that now the field opens to other possibilities.
Oh, okay, so that brings me to you. Corinne was gently like pushing on my feet. Honestly, it felt like a little baby massage. It felt good. But you were saying that's not just, you're not just telling me your left knee goes west. You said I'm putting it in your nervous system. Just
exactly.
By touching? Just by pushing a different direction?
Every single cell of your skin, of your muscles, have sensory fibers running back consistently all the time to the brain. They don't always go up to the conscious part of your brain. Even right now, can you really feel where you are? Anyone listening, are you on your right sit bone or the left?
Now I'm adjusting.
Right? So the question becomes, what's middle? Because middle is balance.
Core, center.
Center is balance. If you don't realize it, but the curves in your spine or the tightness of your muscles keep you very biased to one side, you'll never go in that other neighborhood. Why would you if you don't even know you don't even know it's on the map?
So as a practitioner, you manipulate the body, since we don't know what we're doing, pushing the other way, saying, hey, body, you have another option if you want to go left instead of going right. And eventually, with our awareness, we'd be able to do that to ourselves.
Exactly.
Ah.
And the group lessons, which are available, thousands of them online, you quietly lay down, close your eyes, and begin to follow directions to do a movement that might end up putting you into a headstand even. Because it's not that I'm trying to make your body do something. I'm just having a conversation and asking your nervous system questions. Do you feel this? What does it feel like on this side? Oh, it's different. Huh. If I move you this way, look how that chain goes all the way from the foot, or I was just pushing through your skeleton up to your head, so that every time you take a step, now hopefully you'll realize, oh, when I push on this foot, my head turns this way. And it's not broken down, because you can't consciously think of all this. We would never be able to do anything if we thought of every single part.
Right.
So it's the practice.
Getting faster.
Over and over. And the clarity and the precision, the efficiency, the ideal for you. It could be just, how can you get comfortable enough to go to sleep?
Right.
Because this is the way you garden. It's the way you wash your dishes. It's the way you make love. It's the way you get angry. All of that's happening on the background
habit
of you, right? And if it's a habit and you don't realize that you have it, it limits you from all the other possibilities that you could explore if you recognized your habit. Now, most people come because they have a problem. They have pain. So it's very apparent to them.
The body's screaming.
Yeah. So it's better to do it when you're not in pain, because it's learning. And the pain takes up all of the air.
That makes sense. So our guru, Marilyn Roth, that Corinne and I learn from every week in our spiritual group, she always harps and emphasizes on something that I always have difficulty with, and that is actually feeling the feeling. You got to feel the feel. First of all, you recognize is what I'm feeling in my, because you can go to therapy. Let me back up. You can go to a friend for advice. Well, I think you need to tell him this. I think you need to do that. Do, tell, think. Do, tell, think, do, whatever. And it works for a little bit, but it doesn't change anything.
It has to be internalized.
Right. So that's what I'm asking. Is this the same concept? You got to feel the feeling to heal your issue. And you're saying you got to feel the feeling within your body to become aware of what you're doing. No, not bad or good. So you have other choices. Physically,
exactly.
Mentally, emotionally.
So the whole concept of mindfulness applies. That's like the new word for this.
Right.
We call it awareness. It's really just learning. It's learning. This is called somatic education. Your soma being the you in the body, not just the tissue, the meat, the skin, the bones. It's the you that's inhabiting this. So if you wanted to think of an overarching goal, it would be to fully embody yourself. What parts of you do you not feel? The typical one is in between the shoulder blades.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? It's critical for our head position.
Mm-hmm.
We've all seen people who are so twisted up. They didn't start out that way. But their habit of a lifetime ends up that way. So I'm 70. I've had 70 years to practice Corinne being Corinne. But for the last 25 years, I've done the Feldenkrais method. I have no pain anywhere in my body. There's nothing I can't do that I could have done 50 years ago. I can, not that anybody cares about doing a cartwheel or a handstand.
I do.
But
that's amazing.
A lot of us do. So what you learn when you learn to do a headstand is, where is your spine?
Right. How you have to align it.
Right? So it's a lot more important in your driving and living and walking around to be upright and know where your head is. And it can be from down in your pelvis, from somewhere in your chest.
So great. You know where your head is. You've centered your body. You've been doing this for 25 years. So it's affected you in a positive way physically.
Yeah.
How has Feldenkrais and this awareness and mindfulness affected you in your personal life? Because you recently went through a big breakup.
Mm-hmm.
How has this Feldenkrais and mindfulness helped or hurt or done nothing for you?
Oh, it's meant everything. In every choice I've made in my life since I learned the method, it takes, same word, the awareness. What was I doing in that relationship that manifested, that brought me the result that after 10 years, without expecting it, my partner decided he was out?
So you pretty quickly, you went within yourself. You went to the mirror and said,
immediately.
Did you have judgment on you?
Well, I think the habit of judgment is always there. Like, what did I do wrong? What could I have done? And ultimately, it helped me notice my own habits of behavior.
Which are?
Well, the blind spot that I have about putting my whole life into someone else's life. I lived his life, not mine. I gave him all of that power, and he didn't even know it, and then ultimately didn't want it anymore. And looking back over the course of the 10 years, I can see where I saw big red flags that I ignored. Well, that's the story of my life.
That's your habit.
My habit as the child of divorced parents, never seeing my father for 20-some years after that, I created habits of protection and organization of myself to survive. But those habits don't serve me now. The habit of overlooking the things that could have told me that I wasn't going in the right direction. So the way that the Feldenkrais method, and it does change your life when you do this work, I took control back. I realized I had completely gone to sleep in a whole area of my life. My friends were all saying, welcome back. We haven't seen you for 9.5 years. And I didn't even notice it. My kids said, you're shrinking, Mom. Your life was so big. You're getting smaller and smaller to fit what my partner wanted.
So some people listening, thank you for sharing and being vulnerable. I really appreciate it. And I know everybody does too who's listening. And I ask you this because I do this podcast because I learn from listening to other people. I learn in group from listening to other people's stories because we're all the same. So I imagine somebody out there hearing this is thinking, okay, great. So as a Feldenkrais practitioner at 70 years old, you can do cartwheels. That's great. And you're centered and you're in tune with your body, you have no pain, but then you just get out of a 10-year relationship when your heart is broken. Talk to people who may be thinking, well, a lot of good that did you. A lot of good that Feldenkrais business did you. It's great you can look in the mirror now at 70 and go, well, you know what? I have a habit of always shrinking or ignoring red flags. Like, what do you say to that?
That unless you know what you're doing, you can't do what you want. I didn't know what I was doing. And that's with the support of our group. I mean, did anybody in group realize for all those years something wasn't right?
I mean, if I can speak personally, I mean, Corinne, you're so together, but I don't know why, but I always just felt like, she deserves more. But yet the outside, it seemed like you were getting enough.
He's an incredibly talented, brilliant physician, a professor of medicine, taught at Harvard. We grew up in the same way. We have very similar backgrounds. We have very similar values.
But there was a piece missing. Something.
There was a piece missing, and I wanted it to work so badly, and this is my habit. I thought I could make it right. Just like I did
you and
with
I are very
my
similar.
Father when I was five years old, and I carried it through my whole life. So, in other words, we never stop learning.
Okay.
You know?
That's
we
your
grow
point.
And we grow. If we stop learning new things, stop exploring, we start declining. I'm learning. I'm still growing.
So what have you, this is turning like a Corinne therapy session, but we're going to learn from you. So it's been 8 months since you broke up. And you're really thriving. I mean, you hit some really low marks. We saw that, some low moments, because that's
hard.
Normal. You know, you're with somebody a long, long time. But you're definitely, it seems like you're shining again. What have you learned about yourself thanks to Feldenkrais and this awareness after this breakup? And what habit do you have the intention to change?
My intention is to change how much I, basically, it's almost narcissistic on my part that I think I know what to do. I can make this happen. Don't tell me I can't do this. I can do this. I will make it work.
To change that thought process.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And that is not a functional way to go through life. I can only control what I do, and I need to hold myself accountable for that. I can't blame my former partner or any of my former partners. They're just who they are.
I can't see you talking to them, anybody saying, don't tell me what to do. But that was your message, you know, I'll make this work. I'll make this relationship work no matter what.
I mean, the specific example I could give you is that his daughters completely rejected me, and I had no way of being able to do my habit, which is I was going to make them like me. Everybody likes me. You know, what's this about? And his protection of their reality at the cost of my reality happened month after month, year after year. And I believed him when he said, it will all work out, have confidence in me. I should have known, I did know, that this is not right. And I wanted to talk to them openly and as adult children, go through it. And I allowed myself to say, okay, you're right, I won't do it, I'll wait.
What was that habit? Was really
pleasing.
Oh, okay.
Being a pleaser.
And this is going to work no matter what.
Yeah.
And he's telling you this is going to work no matter what.
So it's my strength that I have self-confidence and I trust myself. But when all the information coming in and everyone else saw it.
Right.
So that's a big clue.
Right.
That everyone else thought he didn't want to be with my friends. His schedule, which is very demanding, became my schedule. And
so what will you do differently? What are you doing differently?
I'm being more aware of what I'm actually doing, not what I just think I'm doing, what I'm actually doing. In other words, when I get up in the morning, get up, take that walk, walk the dogs, prepare myself in a way that welcomes the rest of the world in. What I was doing, because it happened to be his way of doing it, was pretty much isolate myself from the rest of the world. We made a beautiful home. I lived in a beautiful bubble. Only I was without my friends. I was only with him. And I convinced myself that that was okay. So to bring it back home again, physically, I am feeling my weight. I'm feeling my own
strength.
How I let my fears guide me. I was so afraid of losing the relationship that I did everything that made me lose the relationship.
Right. Well, we talk about this in group, the father abandonment and all that stuff from the past. We repeat our past.
Exactly.
Unless we're aware.
Right. And I really didn't see it. Even though I go to group every week, I was so convincing myself that this is right. This is fine. Uh-huh. This is going to be okay. And it clearly...
Pulled the cord, honestly. He kind of did you a favor.
Completely. He and everyone else say, you're going to be so much better off without me. And it was really the little five-year-old inside of me that was like, no, I
Daddy,
want this.
Leave.
Daddy, I don't care if you're this or you're that. Just be here. Why? Why would I need that? I've been the chief of a major department of physical therapy in the biggest hospital in the Southeast. I've done research. I've published. I have beautiful friends. I have great family. All my relationships are good. What did I do? I chose the one place where I wasn't myself.
Because that was your habit.
That was my habit. And it's been an amazing lesson, a great learning experience.
So in summary, we started talking about Feldenkrais, which is a somatic education, as you said. But really the point is to just increase your awareness of your body so you can increase your mindfulness and awareness of your habits of your life, which can open the door to all these other possibilities.
Very small things like holding your breath and clenching your jaw when you're confronting something that's scary or difficult. The first thing we do is hold our breath. So simple things like, okay. Breathe. I mean, there isn't a practice in the world that isn't all about the breath in yoga. And
I think it's important to say, because I do it to myself, when we become, I'm really talking to me, but when we become aware, if we choose to, after you listen to this podcast, we also want to be aware of our judgment. I'm right there. I'm like, you're holding your breath. Who does that? My leg's longer than the other one.
Right.
Just aware. Oh, look at me judging myself, gently.
Because you can take it as something that's interesting instead of something bad. It's like, oh, wow, how do I do that? I look at photographs of yourself from childhood through your life. Your head will be in the same position in almost every here's me. This is me in
your
kindergarten, right? It's also me standing in line at Publix.
Uh-huh.
My weight's on this foot. And then things happen in your life. You have accidents or, you know, just things. Being very tall as a young girl, people don't want to be so tall. So they develop a habit of shortening and shrinking. Or the other way, I'm aggressive. My chest is out. My jaw is out. We read those cues from each other all day long. We're picking up on the body language. I want to say what I mean in my body language.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to send out a false message of either vulnerability or arrogance.
Because it's a pattern.
It's a pattern.
So Corinne's advice in a watered-down nutshell, be aware of what you're actually doing. Her other tip was we never stop learning. What did you say when you first stepped down? You said, if you know what you're doing.
You have to know what you're doing in order to do what you want. It sounds like the most simplistic thing ever, but you start living that. Do you really know what you're doing?
Right. Or are you just driving to work thinking about something else? Not even knowing.
We're on autopilot running through our life. And the years and decades pile up. And if you're not distributing that work through your entire body, something's going to wear out eventually. A hip, a knee. And that's just on the physical level.
Right.
But emotionally, you know, people get stuck. They become their own worst enemy. We don't realize what we're doing because we're reacting from a very unconscious place. So the more we can bring by practicing physical movement, it's a metaphor for practicing emotional movement. You said to me, don't let somebody else rent so much space in your head. And I responded, yeah, I'm moving around my mental furniture. I'm rearranging. I'm learning. It's as simple as that. I mean, we call it neuroplasticity,
right.
You know, and that's become the buzzword, but it's learning. You make new channels when you learn things.
At
new connections, new circuits. And if you keep learning, you're still growing at any age.
And even if you just have the intention to grow, an intention to learn, that's everything. Wow, good old Feldon. Thank you so much.
To tell you a little bit about who he was, I skipped that part. Moshe Feldenkrais was a brilliant engineer and physicist. He was born in the Ukraine, migrated to Israel when it was not Israel yet, in the 20s. He went to the Sorbonne and lived in Paris for years and became a judo master. In the course of his life, he injured his knees. And at that time, there were no knee replacements in the 40s. And he developed a method to reorganize his system from the mind of an engineer so that the places that were really problematic in his knees no longer gave him a problem because he learned how to move his spine and his pelvis, explored himself, and from that developed a method where he worked with thousands of displaced people coming out of Europe in the late 40s who had been victimized by the Nazis and fled in. Eventually were allowed to come into Israel, and they had been malnourished, the emotional trauma. The babies being born were being born with problems, and he started to apply these methods to the people who were creating a new society in Israel. And then he traveled all over the world speaking and teaching this method and spent time at Berkeley in California in the 70s, where my teachers were trained, and then at Amherst in the early 80s. And then he passed away, but the core group of people who studied with him now train tens of thousands of people all over the world.
He was the engineer who was self-aware. I mean, those two usually don't go together.
I think the martial arts were the discipline that brought him to that. Think of judo. A tiny little kid even can toss a 300-pound person because you know the leverage.
Right.
You feel, you watch what they're doing, you sense it, and you can anticipate it and flip them right onto their backs. That idea that you can be purposeful, the books he's published are The Body and Mature Behavior, The Potent Self, Awareness Through Movement, many, many more articles. But the idea was about being the most you can be, not measuring it against other people, measuring it against what is possible. What's your potential? What's your untapped potential?
What's your untapped potential? Okay, so we're going to conclude here, and we're all going to focus on be aware of what you're actually doing. That was your best tip of this whole thing. Be aware of what you're actually doing. So, you know, if you want to try Feldenkrais, great. I'm going to. And if you don't, let's have an intention to increase our awareness of our body and then our possibilities for our life, our habits that we all do.
Who is the self? Who is that self that's embodying this physical thing?
Not just go, go, do, do. It takes a minute, though. You have to. I'm always like on the run, and it takes a minute to just. Yeah. Let me get back to the present moment instead of doing.
Exactly. And it's such a good tool in that larger metaphysical idea of really coming back to yourself, to your true self, and your connection to those around you, to be free to love and expose yourself and feel safe because you know where your center is.
If you want to get a hold of Corinne, you can reach her at her email at cluria9096@aol.com. You also have your cell. Do you want me to give that out?
Sure.
Attractive people only. Just kidding. Give her a call. Tell me your number.
786-253-0471.
Or you can DM her on or you can DM me on Instagram, and I'll connect you with her. But you're also opening a studio, for those of you listening in Miami, in South Miami, or Gables?
It's actually in Coral Gables. Okay. It's the Gyrotonics Center of Coral Gables. And they're wonderful teachers. They're doing gyrotonics and gyrokinesis, very intelligent form of exercise that's very congruent with the principles of the Feldenkrais method.
I love you so much. I'm so glad
Lynn,
you came here.
You.
This Corinne and I booked this like four times, seriously. I'm not kidding. And you're just a gem, and
I aspire
to be like you.
I'm so happy to have you in my life.
Oh, no, it's a big love fest. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and see you on the next Advice for Life with Lynn. A reminder to everybody, submit your questions on adviceforlifewithlynn.com. And while you're there, sign up for my free email. You'll be the first to get my weekly blog on how to live consciously and peacefully. You'll also get access to my free happiness guide when you sign up. Also, I'm looking for guests with different ways that they can help the Advice for Life with Lynn followers. So reach out, maybe if you think you've got something to say and you want to be on the podcast. Lastly, please subscribe and rate my podcast on iTunes. I really care about what you think, so tell me how I'm doing. I want your thoughts. The links are in the show notes and also on the website. I want to help as many people as I can with this podcast, so your shares, your subscribes, and reviews help us gain visibility in the iTunes store, and they help us reach more people. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. And remember, there is nothing we can't talk about.